Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
We're going to be doing a message today and next week, and it's titled Radical Community. We're going to be talking about what does it look like if we were and are to look at the community that God has called us to be. If you could open up your Bibles to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, actually, it's a little tricky book to find. Sometimes it moves around in my Bible, so you got to chase it down and get a hold of it. But if you go to Revelations, you can flip back four books from there. You will be in 1 Peter. In the books, in the Bibles in front of you, you can also pick up that Bible. It's on page 814. So if you have a Bible, if you could get it out or turn it on or open it up, let's look at the book of 1 Peter. And I'm going to be talking about, as I said, radical community. But I just want to quickly, just before we get into it, talk about what does it mean, this word radical? Why would we name a series radical? Well, radical actually has two meanings. The first meaning is what we're used to. It's something that's innovative, something that's different, something that's not like everybody else. But actually, radical has another word. There's a root word to radical. And sorry for all of you products of the 80s, the root word is not rad, it's actually root. We're talking about the origins and the foundations of something. And so when we hear the term radical, it actually means returning to one's origins. So if we were to be a church that were to return to our origins, where would we find what we're supposed to look like? Where would we find how we're supposed to operate? Where would we find what was God's original intent for us as a church? Well, we'd find it in Scripture, and so we're going to do that today. Just before I move on, hasn't it been a good day? It's been a good day. Can we give the Lord a hand? It's been a good day. All right, that was the disclaimer. It's been a great day. All right, now we can move on. So I'm going to be talking today about this term called holiness, this term called being holy. Holy. And out of the book of 1 Peter is actually, Peter is writing to the early church. They were one of the earliest churches at the time, and he would write a letter. And this is how it happened back in the day. One of the apostles would write a letter, send it to a church. That church would read it with their congregation, and they would learn from it. They would interact with it. Then they would send it on to another church, and that church would read it, do the same. They would go to another church, and there were several churches in this area that Peter's writing to that they read this letter. Now, before and leading up to this passage we're about to read, Peter spent the first part of the letter telling them of this great salvation that comes from Jesus Christ. That was his whole plan. He was painting this picture of this majestic, powerful work of Jesus, that God sent him and he became our substitute, that we could be saved in him. And he painted this incredible picture and great picture of salvation. And then we come to the passage which we're going to read today, which is going to be 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. He starts to talk to them about what is their response to that great salvation. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but what is your response to God's great salvation? Because of what God has done in your life. Now, we as a church, I believe that God is much more concerned about us being a strong church than he is a large church. I'm not opposed to large church. I think large church means you're doing something right. I think you're discipling people. You're equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. And the saints feel empowered to go and change the world. And they're touching more lives. And then they're bringing them into the fold, which you see in Acts, in the beginning of Acts, that numbers were added to the church daily because the people had this sense that they knew who they were in Christ. And they knew what God had called them to be. And they were baptized in the Holy Spirit so that they could be witnesses unto the earth. And so I think all of that is good. But God, his first and foremost, his purpose for us, for church existing, is that we would be a strong church. Would you agree? If we're a mile wide, but we're only an inch deep, what's the purpose? That God wants to strengthen us. And Peter is writing to the church to strengthen them. And I believe he wants to strengthen us today. So I really have a sense that God wants to speak to us in a very powerful way. So if you could open up to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. If you found it, say, I got it. Wow, isn't that great? That's so cool. I don't know why it's great, but it's neat. We all have it. All right, here we go. We're going to read scripture. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. It's going to be a good day because we're opening God's word. It's going to be awesome. So here we go. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy. Now I'm reading from the NIV. The Bibles in front of you are the New King James, but still continue to follow along. Verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. But it was with the precious, verse 19, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Verse 21, through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying, everyone say obeying, the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. The whole point of this that Peter is talking about is this term about being holy. Being holy. Now, did you know that if everyone in Denver and the suburbs and everyone in this whole population that surrounds us were saved and born again and followers of Jesus, did you know that we would still have problems? Did you know that? Think about it. Or just think about your own life, who are born again, following Jesus. Do you still have problems? I have problems. Peter knew this as well. And so he was writing to this church to say this, to say, hey, listen, Jesus has done a great work in your life, but this is very important how you live your life. So the issue that we're talking about is a lifestyle issue. How do I live my life once I am devoted to Christ? This is a big deal. It's a big deal in the theme throughout Scripture. And the key phrase of being holy just means this, to be set apart, to be taken from one place and set apart for in another place, to be used only for God. But you know, you don't hear this term much in church, do you? You don't hear much about holiness. And I was processing through this, I asked a question. I wonder why. I wonder why we don't hear the term holiness very much. And I just had this thought. Now, I'm not saying this is the truth. I'm just saying this is my thought, okay? So let me share my thought with you this morning. I think and I wonder if we don't hear it much because maybe the church over time has strived to become and act more like our surrounding community instead of looking and acting more like the people God called us to be. Whether you agree with that or not, but I think there's some truth in that statement. Now, I'm not talking about our church as far as the gathering. I'm not talking about what kind of music we have in church or what kind of technology or whether we sing hymns or we sing something else, whether we have drums or we don't have drums, whether the pastor wears a suit and tie or doesn't wear a suit and tie. That is irrelevant. What I'm talking about and what Peter is talking about is how we live our lives. And I believe there's this connection between radical and God's original plan for us as a church, that's very, very similar. If we were connected and are connected to our original purpose as followers in Jesus Christ, let me tell you this, we would look really, really different than the world. Do you agree with that? We would, and we should. I think we should look completely different. I think the men in this church should look completely different than the men who do not know Jesus. I think the women in this church should act and should be and should have this sense of God's presence about them, and they should live their lives differently than the women in the world. I think our engaged couples should have boundaries in their relationships that engaged couples in the world would never have. I think engaged couples should be pursuing purity instead of compromise. Now, I'm not saying there are many engaged couples here, and I know them, that I'm proud of you. Listen, to live a life of holiness comes with this thing called a fight. It's just the reality. I think our married couples should look different. I think marriages in the world that are degrading and that are troubling, that are breaking down, all of a sudden they should see this Christian couple and go, What is going on with you? You guys love each other. You guys care about each other. You guys prefer one another. The husband, you're not lording over your wife and being harsh with your and wife. You're submitting to your husband, and you're both submitting to one another. What's going on? This is crazy talk. That's radical. If you look at the reality of where the world is and where God calls us as a church, there should be a drastic difference. Now, we are called to be in the world, but my friends, we're not called to be of it. So I'm not talking about we hide ourselves in the closet and we dress differently and we wear weird things and we walk around and we don't talk to anybody. No, no, no. Jesus never did that, but he always called people to a higher standard. He did hang out and with prostitutes and drunkards, but he loved them and he spoke to them. But his whole purpose was then when they came to a place, he would say, listen, I forgive you, now go and sin no more. He still said that. He still told them to do that. Now, this is a word that comes across like, oh my gosh, I did not know I was going to get a little pop on the head this morning. And that is not what this is doing. But this is being true to the context of God's word and what we just read. So this call to holiness from Peter, what does it mean? Does it even matter for us today? Does it even matter? Does it matter for me? Does it matter for the people around me? It matters for both. If we were to understand what Peter is saying here to the complete degree of what he's saying this, a life of holiness will totally transform your life and the life around you and the lives around you. Did you know that there was no revival in church history ever that was not preceded by a desire for holiness? Did you know that? We talk, God, we want revival, and I do. I believe we need it. We need the church to be revived. We need our community to come into contact with God. We need them to feel God's presence. If you want to see the miraculous, if you want to see blind eyes open, if you want to see the move of the Spirit, if you want to see and sense God's anointing, then what Peter is saying here then is pursue holiness. If you want to influence in your workplace, in your family, in your home, in the community, then Peter's saying here, pursue holiness. Now, but the only reason, really, the greatest reason is better to say, the greatest reason to pursue holiness is because God in his word tells us to do so. This isn't something that I'm making up. This isn't something that the organized church made up. This is something that God made up in his word. And Peter is writing and telling them to pursue holiness. And simply holiness is being set apart. God, this word holy is used more than any other word in the Bible to describe God. And it goes through that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And Jesus prays to his Holy Father. And in Revelation 4, the angels stand around the throne, the eternal song, night and day, day and night, are angels lifting their voice and singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then we come to this verse with good old Peter. And he says, oh yeah, just like all that other majestic stuff, God says you're to be holy like I am holy. That feels a little daunting. That feels a little like, wait, time out, Peter. Apparently, you don't know me. Because if you knew me, you would not give me that challenge because you'd be like, forget it. But this is Peter's call. Also understand, Peter is telling this church to be holy. Do you know Peter's life, Peter's past? He rejected Jesus. He turned away from Jesus. And then he came back to Jesus. So Peter must understand this, that holiness is something, it's not just morality. It's something about making sure your life is set apart differently from everyone else's life, differently for the purpose and solely purpose of serving God in every area of your life. So what does this word mean? When God says to be holy, he means this, be completely mine. That's all he's saying. I want all of you. And the call of holiness is deeply personal to all of our lives. It's deeply personal because you know what's going on in your own heart. God wants our whole being. He saved us to make us his. And he made us his by Jesus Christ. Because why are we talking about holiness, Jason? Didn't Jesus make me holy? God made me holy through his son, Jesus Christ. Yes, he did. But he still says, pursue holiness. God wants our whole being. He wants our gifts, our skills, our life, our job, our hopes, our dreams, our desires, our fears, our joys, our love, our relationships, our ministry. He wants us to come to a place in our life that we say, my life no longer belongs to me, but it belongs to God. He's not talking about Sundays belong to God, Monday through Saturday belongs to me. That's not what Peter's saying. That's not what holiness means. It means you wake in the morning, God, I belong to you. Every interaction, you have a relationship, God, I'm doing this for your glory and for your purposes. How I love my wife, love my kids. How I'm faithful to the church God's called me to be faithful to. How I work on my job, what I eat, what I drink, all to the glory of God in his holiness. So why should we pursue holiness? For one, we need to pursue holiness because we have an eternal Father. That's why. So if you want to write on your notes, why should I pursue holiness? This is the first reason. Because we have an eternal Father. In this verse 17, that we don't have it, but on the screen. But Peter's saying this, since you call on a heavenly Father. In other words, because you say heavenly Father, eternal Father, we are to live consistent with calling him our Father. All of us have parents. We grew up with parents. And if I called, because my dad was my father, I had to live consistently with he was my father. I had to live consistently with the culture that he created in my home. I remember there was a time I was being a bit of a knucklehead. Any teenagers ever a knucklehead in here when you were a teenager? Or was it just me? Okay, good. Okay. I was being a little knuckleheadish. And I'll spare you the details of all of that. But I remember my mom was talking to me and she said, son, ask yourself this question. How you're behaving, how does that represent your father? Now, I don't want to hear that as a teenager who wants independence. But that question stuck with me. How am I representing my father? And that's what Peter's talking about. We have an eternal Father. That's why we are to pursue holiness. Our identity is not in this earthly Father. Our identity is our heavenly Father. Peter is reminding these Christians that their primary identity comes from an eternal Father. And we are to reflect the nature of our Father. Every child reflects the nature of their parents. When you look at my son, you see me. When you look at my daughter, you see my wife. How they behave, how they think, how they, it's crazy. When you look at your kids and you think, that's me. And then you think, ooh, I probably need to help them not be that. Peter's saying, if you're children of the eternal Father, then you will be obedient children. Because obedience, and I want you to hear the statement, obedience is the proof that you know you belong to the family. Think about it just for a moment. Obedience is the proof that you know and you understand that you belong to God's family. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my what? Commandments. We cannot have holiness without a love for Jesus. It starts there. And we cannot have love for Jesus until we have a salvation experience, and it starts there. We have an eternal Father, but also we have an eternal Father who loves us and has given us an eternal value. Number two, we have an eternal value. Verses 18 through 19, say this. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In other words, he was perfect. And I wonder what you think your value is this morning. I wonder what you think, how much you think your life is worth. And I wonder if there's a direct connection between what you think your value is and how you live your life. Because I believe, and I've looked back on my own life, there were periods in my life, I know that I lived my life at the level in which I thought my value was. And I would say that's the same for some of us in this room. You will live your life at the level in which you think your value is. So what's going to be the main thing the enemy attacks you with? Your value, who you are. Yeah, I know Jesus forgave me, but really, how valuable really am I to God? And Peter's saying, listen, you weren't bought with a currency that rises or falls and you can pull it out of your wallet and pass it around. Listen, that is insignificant. You were purchased with the currency of the blood of Jesus. And that is where your value comes from. It is priceless. It's from pure and spotless. And if it's true that the value of something is measured by what someone will pay for it, and we know that's true, then I believe all of us in this room need to rethink our worth. Because God gave his most precious gift for you. And if he gave the most precious gift in the universe for you, what does that say about your value? It says a lot. So Peter's just reminding them, hey, listen, you have a great worth. And he's telling them, listen, don't waste your life. Don't dabble in sin. Stop acting like a person you're not. He's saying this, be holy and act your worth. Just like with a child or teenager or adults. We'll say what? Act your age. Act your age. Sometimes I might be guilty of not acting my age. But Peter's telling them, act your worth. Act who you are. Why pursue holiness? Number three, because we have an eternal destiny. The last half of verse 13 says, "Is set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Peter's saying this, you start your life with the end in mind. This world is not the end result. Invest your life into things that will bear fruit into eternity. Sow seed that could be planted in the fields of heaven. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. This is a very powerful verse because normally we don't hear this much. Because this is what we think would be part of the old covenant, this verse we're about to read. But understand, out of Galatians, Paul is writing to the church, and he says this, and he's talking about sowing seed. How does that work? He says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, and whoever sows to please their flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Every situation we have in our daily life is a situation to sow seed to the flesh or sow seed to the Spirit, to sow seed to destruction or begin to live a life of holiness and make that decision. I told you, it's a fight. It is a fight. If it was easy, Paul would not say, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. How many times? When? Every day of your life. Man, I thought this Christianity thing was easy. I thought this following the King of the universe was easy. It's easy because he gives you the grace to do it. And he helps you do it. And he gives you the resolve to pursue him. But I'll tell you, it's a fight. Now, so many times when you hear holy or holiness, everyone starts defaulting to this term called legalism. Oh, Jason's just being, he's a legalist. And what legalism is there's a series of hoops you got to jump through. If you do everything right, then you have gained the affection of God and now he can love you. That's not what holiness is about. You are already accepted in Christ. You are part of his family. Peter is just telling them, start acting like you're part of the family. You've been adopted into the home. This is dad and this is brothers and sisters. And so stop acting like you don't belong. Listen, you belong to this family. Now start acting like it. That's all he's saying. So how do we pursue holiness? Three quick points. Because it's good to have a how. Don't tell me I need it. Tell me how. For one, we need to get ready. The beginning of this passage, Peter says, get ready. He's talking to the church. He says, get ready. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Peter's saying, make sure that nothing gets in the way of being who God called you to be. So here's my question to all of us today. How are we going to prepare ourselves for what God has for us? If holiness is the key to unlocking God's absolute miraculous moving in our lives and what we desire to live, if holiness is that key, if pursuing holiness is that key, what are we going to do? Because part of this is you have to cut some things out. You have to remove some things from your life. What are you going to cut out to prepare yourself for the life of holiness that God has for you? Maybe it's a habit that no one knows about, or maybe your spouse knows about, or maybe the friends that you have the habit with know about. Maybe it's a substance. Maybe you're drinking too much on a regular basis. Maybe it's become such a ritual that it's now a part of you every night. Maybe you seek approval by others, and so you're looking to them instead of looking to God. Maybe it's pornography. And you thought, you know, this doesn't hurt anybody else. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's tax fraud. Maybe you're having sex outside of marriage. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's a relationship outside of your marriage. But it's just a little relationship. It's just that we're just friends. Maybe it's small lies. Maybe you spin everything to manipulate. Maybe this applies to many of us in this room. Maybe it's not big things, and that really, do I really need to do anything about it? Maybe your priorities are not right. Maybe God is wanting you not to care so much about how you look or what you drive or where you live. Maybe it's a bad attitude. I think it's simply this. God wants us to cut some things out of our life and pursue holiness. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. He convicts us because, guess what? We belong to the family. And he wants us to pursue holiness so we can be everything God has called us to be. I remember the story I heard about YWAM, which is the largest mission organization in the world. Lauren Cunningham had all of his leaders in a room, and they were just praying. They were seeking God together. And all of a sudden, there was this spirit of, like, repentance coming to the room. And they began confessing their sins one to another. And one of the main leaders began to weep. And he was just overcome with this conviction. And he said, I have to confess to you. He said, I sent out a couple letters with YWAM stamps on it. They were personal letters. I sent them out with YWAM stamps instead of me buying my own. And he said, God, forgive me. Now you think, what does that matter? It matters. Little things in our life matters. This is about God inviting us to take our rightful place as heirs in his kingdom, to live in the supernatural world that is promised us through his Spirit. But we must pursue holiness. We must pursue what God has for us. Secondly, how do we do it? As we get with others. Peter's writing to a community, a church. He's affirming, listen, you should be together. Get with others. You need to serve with others. You need to rub shoulders with others. You need to have the relationships to say, listen, I blew it this week. I want to pursue holiness. Pray for me. Help me. Maybe it's getting a part of a small group. Maybe it's making spiritual growth a part of your home. Maybe you need to get into Sunday school class. Maybe God's leading you to do that. Maybe you need to join Alpha and go through the Alpha class. You cannot do this alone. That's what Peter is saying. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. And I don't want to do it alone. John Wesley was told at the beginning of his ministry, when John Wesley had one of the most massive impacts on the planet as far as beginning of a revival that began in the UK. He would travel all over the place. He would preach. Thousands would come. John Wesley and his brother Charles. Beautiful story. You should read it one day. It's such a great story. But someone told him this: if you want to serve God with your whole heart and with your whole life, then find companions or make companions, because you cannot do it alone. And he did that. He surrounded himself with people who he could rub shoulders with, and he could pursue holiness so that he could be everything that God had called him to be. Number three, you need to get with God. This passage here starts, therefore, Peter is saying, since it's starting with therefore, Peter is talking about, listen, you cannot pursue holiness. You can't do any of this. All of that was made possible by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But now that you're in Christ, you have full access to God's presence. Just like we did this morning. Just like we were here this morning, seeking God's presence. Loving on God and him loving on us. Get with God. Take some time to be with him. If it means getting some time aside and saying, God, I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to cry out to you. If it just means just in your own world, in your own home, and you just sit down and you just begin to worship God, and you just begin to say, God, I love you. Lord, I worship you. If you open this word and you begin to read it and you allow that word to minister deep into your heart and you set time aside, you block time away and you say, God, I just want everything you have for me. Get with God. Maybe it's just turning some worship music on, getting alone. Husbands, you know what? Do you want what would make your wife smile if you said, sweetheart, I'm going to go into the bedroom for a little bit and I'm going to worship God? Do you know what that would say to your children? Do you think a wife's going to be like, "Are you no, go hang that shelf up. I don't want you to go worship God." Well, it depends how long it's been since she's told you to hang the shelf up. But you know what? Just infuse life into your family. For them to see you. For your children, your sons, your daughters. To see this being a part of your life. You're not putting on airs. You're not trying to be something you're not. You're just trying to pursue holiness. You're just trying to get with God. You're just pursuing a loving Father who cares for you and wants to meet with you. Because one day, dads, maybe you'll wake up and you'll see your son doing this. Or maybe one day you'll see your son with worship music on in the other room and you'll just hear him worshiping God. Wives, you know the best way to set the culture atmosphere of your home? Say, honey, just watch the kids. I'm going to go worship Jesus for a moment. And you just go worship. And you get in God's presence. And he begins to speak to you. He begins to heal you. You begin to feel the stress come off. And your daughter says, "What's mom doing, daddy?" Sweetheart, give her some time. She's worshiping Jesus. What would that do to our families? What would that do to the expectation of our homes? It would change everything. We need to get ready. We need to get with others. And we need to get with God. God has a great plan for you. And part of that plan, my friends, is holiness. Holiness. So stand to it.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.